Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and-feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody.
I'm over here showing Holly houses. I'm like, I found my dream home. Nope, I didn't. I thought I did.
What are your thoughts? Any more progress on finding a dream home? Or
we've been looking all over the place. Still looking. I really thought that one was it until I went there. Like sometimes you just don't know until you're there.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you right away.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't know neighborhood wise or anything until you're moved in, which is a sad state of affairs, but a realistic one.
I know.
I've had that happen so many times where I think I'm just getting like the right place. And then you sleep there one night and you're like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, I'm scared of that.
And you can never know until you're there.
We even looked at houses in Denver, too.
How was that?
Denver is amazing because it has so many historical houses.
I picture you like in the Molly Brown house.
I wish. It's a museum, so you really can't. But like, I wish. Yeah. But we saw some cool houses and we have a real estate agent there, too, that's looking for us there because it would be fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to fly here a couple times a month.
Yeah. Speaking of houses.
Yeah.
I had an emotional reaction to something I saw online. And it was very surprising to me.
Well, it got sent to me and I had an emotional reaction. So I had to send it to you to see, like, am I being weird?
Oh, yeah. You did send me the first one because there were two things online. One was a story posted by someone. And then later I saw a TikTok posted by someone else. They both made me emotional. It was about the mansion now, which is interesting. But it surprised me that I got emotional because I'm not, even though I loved that house when I was there, I'm not typically emotional about that kind of stuff. Like, I'm very interested to see what the new owners are doing with it. Design-wise, I've always said that. Like, I hope they do a whole Architectural Digest feature because I'd love to see what they've done with the place. But I've never been, like, emotional about it since leaving. Like, I never wanted to go back to the parties or anything like that. And even though I hope they keep a lot of what was special about the house, I'm not super emotional about like the big changes. And a lot of people are. Like, I know Stacey Burke won't even talk about it without being like, it's not the mansion anymore. It's just a house. Like, yeah. Like a lot of people just do not like that anything was touched and think it should have fully been a museum. I don't really have that kind of emotional attachment to it. Just more like interest. Like, what are they doing? But I saw these videos and I was shocked. Like, I was taken aback. Like, I talked to you about it. I talked to another friend about it. I was like, I'm surprised like how emotional this makes me. So I wanted to kind of like pick it apart.
Yeah.
I even like Tanya was talking to me about it and she's like, she goes, I get it. Cause I have zero connection to that place. And it made me feel weird watching it.
Yeah. It made me feel really weird too. And really sad. And I was talking to Nick and his brother and I'm like, is it weird that I feel this way and that Holly feels this way and stuff? And they're like, no, we look at it as like, you know, we get it. Like even as guys, they get it. They're like, it would be like our family home. Like we lived there our whole lives, like born and raised there. And if somebody else were living in that now, it would give us like weird feelings too, like mixed, really mixed feelings.
You know what? Now that you say it that way, I've seen other people post things like that. Like I came across a girl on TikTok who was talking about how she grew up in the house that Trisha Paytas owns now. And she's like, it's just so weird to see it online now.
Yeah. Because
that was like your childhood home.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can't remember examples, but I feel like I've heard a lot of other people talk like that too. Like they'll go on Zillow and look at their childhood home and see it changed and they feel some sort of way about it.
Yeah. So I feel like it's equivalent to that kind of. So I feel like a lot of people, I was like, we should talk about it on the podcast because I feel like a lot of people will be able to relate, even though maybe not to the mansion.
Yeah.
But I feel like they may even feel our feelings towards the mansion too, because a lot of people did grow up with the mansion just
on
by
TV.
Watching yeah. it on TV.
Totally. Yeah, the occasion was a couple people posted something online because they had like a little mini event there. I don't want to say what the event was because I get the impression these people are kind of private. So even though it was posted online, like I don't want to be the one to like say what the event was. But it was in the backyard and, you know, they were kind of giving like a little tour of it and stuff. And it made me so emotional. And my first thought on why it made me feel emotional was because they also include the zoo. And that is something I am still like emotionally attached to. Like I always wonder if Coco is still there, which they didn't show the monkey cages. They showed the squirrel monkeys, but mm-hmm. I couldn't tell if Coco was still there. You know, I really miss Carola. I talk about that all the time. And they show a bird that I think is Carola. It looks a lot like her, but it doesn't really have the pink in the feathers. So I'm not sure. It's really hard to tell.
Yeah, because that could be lighting too. Because sometimes I see Carola and she looks really pink and sometimes mm-hmm. she looks really white.
And it's been 15 years. Mm-hmm. So those feathers have all like grown and regrown. Right. I did see Lady Macbeth.
Good.
But it was such a weird feeling watching this because like I've said, I've never been like emotionally attached before, but I'm watching this video and I'm having these feelings come up that are like, aren't logical to me. Like I'll watch it and I'll be like, wait, no, that's my house. Wait, no, those are my birds. And I don't usually feel like that. Like even when they show like the TMZ aerial shots of like all the construction, I'm fascinated by it, but not emotionally attached. But this felt different. And then yeah. I was thinking about it more and more. Like, I feel like there's all these weird reasons that like hit a chord with me. And part of it, I feel like, is they're finally done renovating the house. And it looks stunning from the outside. This thing's had a power wash. Everything's been repaved. Like, everything's been replanted. Like, the pool looks like the same pool, but brand new. And I feel like that strikes a chord too, because I so desperately, when I was with Hef, wanted to fix up the mansion and I could barely get a carpet changed with that man, as you yeah. guys know, but I desperately wanted the house to like be the best it could be. Like, I didn't like it that they had that awning over the back because I felt like it made the great hall dark and they took the awning down.
Yeah.
So all the light is shining through like the stained glass. So I think that was part of it too, was I was seeing this thing that I'd always wanted for so long. And, you know, seeing it be turned into kind of like a family home, which was something that I wanted for so long. And even the way this event was set up was interesting because when we were there, there were a bunch of small circular tables out by the pool. And there were like two levels. There was like the level of the pool. And then there was like a level that was a little higher up. And when we were doing the episode in season two about Hef's birthday, where I had the reunion with the 70s Playmates, which we reviewed on here not so long ago, there's a confessional interview where I'm talking about, oh, 20 years from now, me, Bridget, and Kendra, I'll be having reunions and having them back up. And we'll be like, remember when? Da, 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 da. And when we were talking about on this podcast, I joke that this is kind of the version of it, like mm-hmm. the remember when 20 years later. And I never really put too much thought into that. It wasn't something like I planned every detail of the way you fantasize about like a wedding or something. But I remember when I was talking about that in confessional, I very clearly had this vision in my head for some reason, even though we never set it up like this back there, of like a long table on that second step up by the pool. With like a white tablecloth and all these pink flowers. And I pictured it being this luncheon with like me, you, and Kendra, and like all the Playmates who were close to. Everybody would be coming back from like their own lives and I'd be hosting it. And that's kind of the way this event was set up.
Yeah.
So it was like, it felt weird to me, almost like I was looking at like this alternate timeline.
Yeah.
And I had such a roller coaster of emotions from like jealousy to like confusion to like, why am I feeling this way? To kind of like later on feeling like, well, I'm glad somebody gets to experience that. You know what I mean? Because it was something that I wanted so badly back then. And I'm glad my life went the way it did and it didn't go that way. But I'm glad that somebody today can have like those positive things that I wanted, but it's in a context of like having a family and all these women are up there having fun, but there's no strings attached. It's just normal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a all is right with the world a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had the feelings. It just felt like, oh, a new group of girls is there doing like what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know. It just felt like sort of like, wait, that's ours. That's our life. That's our house. Even though it's not. I know it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
It just gave me those kind of feelings sort of. And I guess it's sort of a jealousy a little bit. But then at the same time, it's also like a sadness kind of. And then also just very nostalgic. And then it's a weird mix. It's a weird mix of feelings.
It's such a weird mix that makes no sense.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They don't even like, I guess like you can never say that feelings aren't valid, but they just don't make sense. Like, of course it's not my house.
Yeah, totally.
It never was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to, but it does bring up the feelings. So the feelings are the feelings.
Yeah. And then you just think about how when I was with Hef, I had this vision that was kind of like that. And then the way Hef's life ended up going after we left. And even if I had stayed there, I don't necessarily know that it would have been that different. I think it would have been better for him because I would have like included all his friends and like all
there
the things.
Is no yeah, question.
But I still don't think he would have like let me fix up the house.
I don't know that he would have let you fix up the house, but there'd be no question that things would have been better for him had you stayed.
And there probably would have been like a 5-year reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, I think if you had been there, he would have lived a lot longer too.
Oh, I think so. I mean, when I was with him, I had no doubt he was going to live to be 100. Like, I just fully took that for granted.
Same.
Which is a weird parallel thing to think about too, because if that had happened, he'd be like on his last year right now. But like...
I 100% thought he was going to live to 100. His mom did. And, and I was like, oh, he's youthful and spry. And he is definitely going to live to 100.
Yeah. So weird.
It is weird. But I feel like it's healthy to talk about those feelings and those, you know, emotions and stuff. And I feel like other people that watch the show or even, like I said at the beginning, just have like their family home that they aren't in anymore can relate to it. And it's an interesting mix of emotions.
It's so crazy. I'm glad the animals are still there and still being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as I know, unless there was some clause, like they didn't have to do that. They could have been like, we didn't pick out these animals. We want to put something else there. Like, let's like give them to zoos or rescues or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm happy that the animals are still there being taken care of and that Lady Macbeth is still there, who we're going to talk about in this episode. Wait, no, not this episode.
I'm so
confused right now that, every day is Wednesday, which is like two episodes.
Oh, two episodes from this. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's so crazy and so interesting. And I still hope they do like an Architectural Digest feature because I really want to see like what the inside looks like. And it's interesting too, because when we were looking at the aerial photos that they have on TMZ or whatever, you see like these other like modern structures on the property. And I'm like, ew, gross, just because I don't like modern. Like I like traditional and everything. But when I was looking at the footage from the event they had, where the table was set up is right by where the outdoor kitchen would have been. And they have something built that's like glass with like a modern roof over where the outdoor kitchen was. And my first reaction seeing that from overhead, I'm like, ew, why do they have to do modern stuff? But seeing it from like a ground level, it kind of felt cool because it was all glass on the side. So it almost felt, and I don't have any reason to think this was their intention with this. I have no idea. But it almost felt like, almost like a tribute to that something else was there. You know what I mean?
Oh, interesting.
Like, I don't know what they put there, but they probably don't want an outdoor kitchen. They don't cater things. They don't, I assume they probably don't want an outdoor kitchen. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I would love to see what the kitchen looks like now.
Oh my God, I bet it's so fun. So yeah, that was like an interesting... I feel like I'm in Beauty and the Beast and I'm like looking in the magic mirror and you can like see somewhere else. Like that's what it feels like to me. It doesn't feel like watching an ordinary TikTok of something that somebody went to.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It feels very like mystical to me.
For sure.
And I know you guys might be asking like in the comments, like, oh, where can I see this? Where can I find the video? And the first video that one of the guests made on TikTok went pretty viral. And like everybody was tagging me in it. And I wrote it and I'm like, tell them thank you so much for taking care of the animals. Cry face, cry face. But that got deleted and she posted like a re-edited version. So maybe she posted something that like the owners weren't comfortable with from like a personal or security thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's around if you really look for it. Yeah. It's still on there.
I know. I got it sent to me like almost right away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Like, just, it kind of like took my breath away for a second. I was like, oh my God, I have to send this to Holly right away.
Yeah, it's such a parallel universe feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of emotional episodes, we're going to talk about Mary O'Connor in this episode. So let's get into it.
I know some of you guys have already noticed, but I have been making my summer makeup routine much simpler lately because there's just some days where you want to look refreshed, but not full glam. I love some bronzer, a little highlighter in the corner of my eye and on the tip of my nose, and some mascara. And my go-to mascara is definitely with Thrive Cosmetics. In the summertime, it's all about looking and feeling our best, but without caking on a ton of makeup because we're just going to sweat it off. Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for a simple, clean, and radiant summer look with minimal effort, maximum impact. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And Thrive Cosmetics gives back. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetic product, you're doing more than just enhancing your own glow. You're helping others shine too. With over $150 million in product and cash donations to 600-plus giving partners, your purchase directly fuels real impact, and that's beauty with a purpose. I know Holly and I have mentioned it before, but the Liquid Lash Extension Mascara is like the best. It's vegan tubing mascara with over 40,000 five-star reviews. It's sweat-proof for the summer. It comes in 6 shades that last all day without clumping, smudging, or flaking. It makes your lashes look so long by wrapping around each lash from root to tip. It's easy removal. It slides right off with warm water without yanking out your natural lashes, thank goodness. And nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time.
Maximize your look with minimal effort. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/nextlevel for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/nextlevel.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level Podcast, everyone. We are back to talk about There's Something About Mary O'Connor Part 2, which the second half of this episode, very different from the first half. And it's all about going over to Mary's house in the Valley, Valley Village to be more specific, because if you guys are familiar with the LA Valley at all or not, Valley Village is very much almost the same thing as like Sherman Oaks, which is like right next to
Studio City.
Yeah.
Which is right next to North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to determine where the actual lines are.
Yeah. So like technically it's Valley Village, but Valley Village is such a tiny little hamlet that if somebody said, oh, she lives in Sherman Oaks, I wouldn't correct them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I forgot Anastasia came with us to this.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Didn't you recently see her house on the MLS?
I was just going to say that. I saw her house for sale, and you guys, do you remember? It was like $2 million, right?
That seems crazy to me.
I know, I'm going to bring it up really quick.
And there was a weird story. Like, I don't want to give any details on who these people were, but I heard a couple different versions of this weird story about Mary's house when she passed away. First, I heard it was willed to a playmate friend of hers. And that's what I always thought happened with it. But then I heard that it went to one of her friends.
Yeah. Well, I'm blown away because I always thought that her stuff would go to her niece.
Right.
Who you're going to see in this episode. I always thought her stuff would go to them. That's her family.
Yeah. But supposedly it went to this one playmate. And then I heard the house got taken from the friend, supposedly.
Yeah.
Because of like title squatters or something. But then I heard a different version of the story. Like it wasn't really title squatters. It was something else. So I don't know what happened, but something very convoluted happened with Mary's house. It went through a couple different people and landed somewhere. Like, I don't know who owns it now or who's selling it, but I don't think it was who was supposed to have it.
No, not at all. And I've
very
heard those,
bizarre.
I've heard those stories too. So you guys, they completely redid it. Like, it's all like the white inside, like
the millennial just
basic. They took down the pictures too, just the outside you can see. And they sold it for $1,950,000 on April 10th of this year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You showed me the pictures and it was all like a redone kitchen and it was just like the very like millennial basic, everything white, gray floors, I think.
Yeah.
That whole stereotypical minimalist thing that everybody's doing now.
Yeah. They call it Sherman Oaks.
But it definitely was Valley Village. Like, I remember her mailing address very clearly because I'd send her, like, flowers and stuff on her birthday. I think I still have her address. Like, you know when you go to send something on Amazon and you go to switch the address and it's, like, every address you've ever sent things to on Amazon? Like, I think it's still Mary O'Connor, da-da-da, Otsego Street, Valley Village.
Yeah.
Like, it's still never got deleted.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's interesting. I almost wanted to not really buy the house, but I sort of wanted to like buy the house just because I feel like it should be with somebody who like
knows it.
Yeah, knows it and cares about it and has like a meaning to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt that way kind of about Kevin's house too. It was so cute. I'm like,
oh, Kevin's house was really cute.
Yeah. I'm like, it should go to somebody who like cares about it and like thinks that it's cool, you know?
Yeah. Kevin's house was in like the less expensive part of Beverly Hills, like the part of Beverly Hills that's technically Beverly Hills on the address, but not like super huge houses. But it was like a cute, like storybook house.
Yeah.
Mary's house, as we knew it, was very homey and maximalist and borderline cluttered, not like in a messy way, but
can I go back to one more thing about the story about who had the house and stuff? Because I just had this memory too that whoever it was left to, Mary put a clause in there that she wanted them to still continue card night every week. And so they did. They continued card night at Mary's house. And then one morning they woke up and there were people at the door saying that they had to vacate because they didn't have the title to the house. And then I heard that's not true either.
Yeah.
But that's what I heard.
And sorry to be unsatisfying and we're not name dropping here, but that's because we keep hearing so many versions of the story and I don't want to like make anybody look like shit or anything like that.
Yeah.
But also there were weird stories about card night. So those ladies kept doing the card night.
Yes.
And then an additional person joined card night after we left. I'm not going to say who it was, but it's somebody that I can speak for myself. I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard from one of my friends who was still involved in card night that she kind of got ousted from card night by the new invader that I don't like. Or at least that's how she felt. She felt like that person kind of took over card night and like kind of disinvited her.
Ugh. Mary's weird like that, though, because Mary did not like this person. And then all of a sudden, this person is like taking over card night. And then, but like Mary didn't like Crystal either. But then
Crystal worms her way back in.
Yeah,
it's weird. There's something about Mary O'Connor that we still haven't figured out.
There really is.
Yeah. She's a very complex person. And I know people have asked, you know, us about our feelings toward her. And, you know, it's just layer upon layer. Like, even though my experience with Mary was mostly positive, there's still little things here and there where I'm like, wait, but was she a shit stirrer? Or wait, but would she throw me under the bus if it made something easier for Hef? Like, I feel like that would happen every now and again.
Yeah. Well, I go back to the one example, and I even said it this morning, like the, when I was like testing for playmate or whatever, and Hef was like, well, I can't make everybody a playmate. And then Mary says, oh, well, what if he made you a playmate? What about what would Holly say or whatever? Like, I feel like things like that, like, shouldn't even be said.
Yeah.
So there were things, but there are also really positive things with Mary. Like, I loved going down and talking to her. Mm-hmm. I loved going down and getting her advice. I loved going to her house and playing cards. I do feel like she had my back in a lot of cases. I know when I first wanted to move in, she was like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Too much drama. Like, don't do it. So like, I do feel like she was protective and good in a lot of ways. But then there's other stories that I hear and there's weird things like this that I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I guess that's how humans are. We don't just follow another person's idea of what our one storyline should be.
Yeah.
And I love that they focus in on a photo of Mary when she was young as a race car driver. They don't really talk about her being a race car driver, but
this is another place where they've really dropped the ball because we don't know a lot. We should know Mary's whole story.
Yeah.
This whole episode really, I think, should have been like
about breaking Mary down and who she is, how long she's been with Hev, how they got together and started working together.
Find some old pictures. I mean, I don't, maybe none existed, but find some old pictures of Mary when she like worked for Hev in Chicago.
They do exist though, because I feel like I've seen one.
Yeah.
Like one comes to mind. Show her doing the racing, even if it's just her sitting by a car. You know, like tell us the stories. Like the only story we get, and it's only because me like poking at it, is we're sitting at the table and I ask how they met, her and Captain Bob, but like we don't know any more about them.
That's true.
It's really weird. And this, she's such a big part of the mansion, such a big part of Hef's life, such a big part of our life.
Have you heard that typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise? They're filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy additives growing kids should never eat. It's no wonder I liked them so much when I was a kid. But that's why Hiya created a super-powered, chewable vitamin. While many children's vitamins are filled with 5 grams of sugar, which is known to contribute to a variety of health issues, Hiya is made with 0 sugar and 0 gummy additives. Yet it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters. Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste they love. Formulated with the help of pediatricians and nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immune system, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. Hiya is designed for kids 2 and up and sent straight to your door so parents have one less thing to worry about.
I love Hiya vitamins. They taste great. I know this because I tried them myself. And the kids and I had so much fun getting our first set of containers with the stickers. They decorated their own little containers. It was so cute. We also recently got the Lion King collaboration, and it's so cute. The little containers are adorable. Also, are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? Hiya now has Kids Daily Greens Plus Superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. Just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. The same multivitamin that more than 1 million kids and parents love are now available with Disney's The Lion King and a new Lion King unboxing experience, including Lion King bottle and Lion King stickers. And we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/next level. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/next level and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
The audience deserves to know more about her.
Yeah, such a big part of Hef's life that I always felt if somebody was ever going to write a movie about Hef's life, the only way to get a good script would be to tell it through Mary's eyes.
Oh, that would be so good.
Because there was, and I hate even sharing this idea because I feel like people listen to the podcast, whether it's Secrets of Playboy Season 2 or Playboy or Dolls Kill or whoever was in charge of that stupid ripoff clothing line they did. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like people listen and take ideas, and I wouldn't want anybody to take this idea and make it work. But remember when Hef was trying so hard to get a movie on his life made when we were together, and yes, Brian Grazer was going to do it, and Scott Silver was writing the script, and he had me like videotaping Hef's day and giving him the videotape so he could kind of get an idea of like what Hef's day in the life was. And they just never got a script that worked. And, you know, I mean, part of that was Hef was difficult because he didn't want anything bad. He couldn't be a flawed hero. You know, he had this long list of things they couldn't include in the script and things like that. But years later, I would see a quote. I don't remember a quote, but somebody was saying, like, the way to tell somebody's story and make it relatable is how do they love? And I feel like Hef's idea of love was very surface and fake and going through the motions. And the only person he had like a real, even though it wasn't a romantic relationship, the only person he was ever real with was Mary. And I just imagined like telling his life story as a film, you would see a flawed person, but if you see them through Mary's eyes, you could see somebody who was likable and relatable and see their struggles and see kind of like a sadness at what they did never achieve. And, you know, I just felt like that would be the way to do it. And I truly feel like that would be a good movie. And like, I can even see how it would be. Like, I can see the actress like playing young Mary and her seeing all the things she sees and, you know, going through Hef's life to the end. I think it would be like super insightful and good.
Yeah, I agree.
Stuff like that. And it's funny because I was thinking about this as we were watching this scene and making my notes and stuff. And I was like, well, maybe I don't want to talk about that. That's so off topic and so random. And I don't want anybody stealing the idea and stuff like that. But then as the episode goes later, we get to a scene later where it shows Hef at Manly Night and he's reading aloud this story about how this director was going to do the movie on his life that never happened. And I'm like, wait, no, this is the theme of this whole episode. This is what this is meant to be. So,
and I also believe that Mary getting sick and passing away
ruined his life.
Completely ruined the mansion, yes. Ruined everything. I mean, I'm not saying she ruined everything, but
her not being there,
everything fell apart.
Ruined things for a lot of people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back in the kitchen with Gail, Sheila, Kathy, and Mary's niece. Mary's niece is the young lady with red hair. Kathy was a friend of Mary. Sheila was her sister-in-law. Gail was another friend of Mary. She was married to Vincent Bugliosi, the famous prosecutor. Mary's niece reminds me of Merida from Brave. Like when that movie came out, I was like, that's Mary's niece.
For sure.
And Miu and Anastasia walk in and then you explain that the ladies do one thing and then Kendra goes there to watch football with Captain Bob. But I don't remember that in real time being a same day thing, because when we went to play cards with Mary, wouldn't that typically be like a Saturday during the day? And then Kendra went over to watch Monday Night Football or something.
Oh, wait, I thought card night was Monday night at Mary's house.
I mean, maybe it was sometimes. I don't remember it that way. I remember it being more like a daytime thing. I don't ever remember going there at night unless you guys did and I didn't do it.
Well, I did before I lived at the mansion when I used to go, and I thought it was Monday nights. I think she would do it other times too. I feel like I do remember going like on an afternoon with you too, like a Saturday afternoon and being out in the backyard. We do go walk in the backyard here, but and doing stuff. So I'm not sure, but I do think she had it on Monday nights.
Moral of the story is, I don't think it happened like it did on TV, on the show. Like, I don't think Kendra was going over there the same time both of us were. It wasn't like a regular thing.
Oh, I don't think it was a regular thing, but you don't think that she was there the same time we were when we were filming?
Maybe that day, but I don't think they try to make it sound like, even though Mary has to like ask permission for Hef, they kind of make it sound like, oh, this is what we do when we go to play cards. Kendra goes and does this. And I even, like, when I was watching this episode back, made the note, like, did Kendra go there regularly to watch Monday Night Football? Maybe she did, because I'm not paying attention to what Kendra does on Monday nights. But it wasn't like this regular structured thing where me and you would go to one side of the house and Kendra would go to the other side of the house. Like, it's just not.
And true. I feel like if she went over to their house and watched football with Captain Bob even a handful of times, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, feel like it's something she maybe did once or twice.
Yeah. Like, I could be wrong, because like I said, I wasn't keeping track of what she was doing or paying attention. But that did surprise me to hear, like, oh, was that a regular thing?
Yeah. And I feel like same with us. Like, we didn't go there all the time to play cards.
Yeah. It was
a handful of times.
Every couple of months. Yeah. So, Captain Bob is there with his Maltese, Miss Kitty. And I remember there was one point he was thinking about getting another Maltese, and he was a big fan of Dita Von Teese. So I said, you should name the dog Dita Maltese, which I think is so cute. But he was like all offended. He's like, I can't name a dog after Dita.
I think it's so cute.
I think Dita Maltese is cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
So you give a little background on Captain Bob and how he likes to build things. And you get a chance to finally mention that Captain Bob was the one who built your cake. For the cake pop birthday.
Oh my God. I wrote, he even built the cake, and I have a typo that says I pooped out of.
That's a visual.
Shows me, and then it does show me popping out of the cake really quick. Yeah, we give hugs. Mary breaks the fourth wall and stares right at the camera and says bye and shuts the door on their face.
That's so funny. That's cute. very merry. Mm-hmm. I think it's good they do the flashback to the cake because this is such a homey scene. We need that flash of like,
and it's such a bummer that they didn't include it. I mean, we've talked that to death, but it's such a bummer that they didn't include that in the beginning in Hef's 80th birthday of Captain Bob and I working together and making that cake. And like,
yeah, I remember Mary was bummed about that. She's like, Captain Bob didn't get any credit.
I know.
But at least they circled back here.
Yeah.
I think it's cute how they focus on all the little things in Mary's house. And it's an interesting parallel to Hef's room because he also has a very cluttered room with stuff that's like meaningful to him. But like his is a mess and Mary's is very neat and tidy. It's very like the female male version of each other.
And it reminds me so much of my grandma's house, like just pictures and stuff, stuff. Everywhere.
Yeah. Mary reminds me of like the tidy older sister and Hef is like the messy younger brother, but it's like the same family.
Yeah.
They show a picture of Mary when she was 13.
She said, yeah, I'm 13 years old and I look like I'm ready to get married.
She does. Yeah. People, it's funny how people look so much more mature back in the day. In my confessional, I'm wearing a shirt I got from Margaritaville at the airport when we went to Jamaica later in the season.
Oh.
But I love this shirt. It's very cheeky because it says the only girl in town. Because I very much was not the only girl in town.
Yeah.
So I was being cheeky. And then we go into Mary's backyard and she has all this cute stuff back there. And my favorite thing was the wooden alien hanging from a swing
with
that looked
pubes.
Like it has pubes because there's like grass growing out of it or like birds and
weeds. Yeah, just
in
some
there.
Weeds.
And I love it because on our Patreon, our pumpkins, our members come up with these really cute names for themselves. And you'll just see these funny like screen names. And somebody named themselves Mary's Alien Pubes.
That's hilarious.
And then they focus in on the birds that Mary and Captain Bob have because these birds like didn't live in a cage all the time and they lay eggs and they would just be out in the house walking around. And I remember after I moved out of the house, there's a period of time where I lived at Mary's house and Sarah Underwood and a friend came over and picked me up because we were going to go out to eat. And the bird, one of the birds, Bad Bird, just came flying through the house and Sarah was so unprepared for it. And she screamed and it was like, it was so funny.
Oh my God.
It was so random. Because they were legit roaming free half the time.
Yeah. Mary was like referring to this one spot as like she's going to make it into our barnyard. And I just go, moo. Like, what? And we're all excited to see her new pig. Like, we know all about this like pig that she's getting. It's a fake pig. But we're all like, oh, is this your new pig?
That's so funny. She must have been excited about it.
Yeah.
And then we're playing cards and you ask Mary how she and Captain Bob met. Do you remember the story?
Mary says that a girl from the Playboy Mansion in Chicago went to work on boats and she ended up on Captain Bob's boat. And she told her, isn't there a single captain available in this place? And then he asked her out to dinner and they made out that first night.
I heard a more complete version of that story where Mary was telling the story about how the lady on the boat was talking to some other guy who worked on the boat. And then she like met Captain Bob and was like, if I'm going to fuck anybody on this boat, I'm going to fuck the captain. But Captain Bob was like so unimpressed. He was like, what? And then the lady ended up like introducing Mary to him somehow.
That's funny.
I just always think of that. If I'm going to fuck anybody on this boat, I'm going to fuck the captain.
And then
which goals?
Like millions of other people, and probably you too, I start my morning with coffee. And one of the things I do to really help myself out is add collagen to that coffee. And now with Everyday Dose, I don't even have to bother with that because it's coffee with benefits. Everyday Dose offers coffee that does more. Coffee Plus features 100% Arabica coffee enhanced with functional ingredients for smooth energy, calm focus, gut health, and skin support. There's no crash, no jitters, the all-in-one coffee that makes you feel as good as it tastes. And like I said, I love putting collagen in. I don't have to because it's already included. And collagen is less about quantity and more about consistency. Everyday Dose makes the ritual easy to support skin, hair, nails, and joints. Coffee Plus is available in two varieties, mild roast, smooth and light bodied with 45 milligrams of caffeine, or medium roast, which is rich and full bodied with 90 milligrams of caffeine. Both feature 100% Arabica coffee enhanced with functional ingredients for a smoother, more focused energy boost. And the ingredients undergo third-party testing to ensure purity and potency, free from mold, but rich in active compounds. And exciting news, you can now find Everyday Dose in Target stores across the country.
Celebrate with a buy one, get one deal. Just buy any two Everyday Dose products at a Target store near you, and they'll pay you back for one. Visit everydaydose.com/GNL for more details. That's everydaydose.com/GNL.
And then Victoria is so like appalled that they were like, she acts like they slept together or whatever. And then Mary's like, no, we made out, not slept together. And then she's like, aren't you too old for that? She's like, you're never too old to make out in the car.
Never. And then they cut back to Manly Night, which is kind of cute how they have this juxtaposition of us playing cards at Mary's and Hef doing Manly Night. But again, I don't think that was a real time thing.
Maybe once.
Maybe it was this day. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm explaining Manly Night and they showcase some of Hef's friends. And I love Ray Anthony's lower third, not only because they call him All the Way Ray, which was the nickname I made up for him, but they also refer to him as famous band leader, which of course I had to give Kevin shit about, like, so famous, you have to tell us.
Yes.
Very famous.
Did you see that Marston and his wife went to Ray Anthony's house for 4th of July this year?
I did. I saw him post it and he was posting different pictures from Ray's house because it's just this really interesting like 70s swinger pad.
It looks like a time capsule.
Yeah, it's really cool. I just always laugh because I just always think of that time, like, because the only time I've seen Ray Anthony's house was when he went live on Facebook that one time and didn't know he was live. Yeah, that was fantastic. So for Manly Night, Hef was handing out the August 2007 issue, which was the issue that my first pictorial I worked on, Tamara Skies, was in. And it reminds me of Crystal's book, because wasn't it in Crystal's book where she said that they would hand out the issue and pick apart the women in it?
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine that. Like, I don't feel like Hef's friends would be that rude about a girl Hef chose to be in the magazine. Like, I feel like they might compliment her or, like, say, like, if this one's their type or something. But
yeah,
I don't know. I never heard any talk like that at the dinner table, at least when I was there. Like, the guys would always be very complimentary about the playmates.
That's what I was going to say, too. I only heard complimentary things. So
yeah. So we're back at Mary's. We ate deviled eggs and Captain Bob's panini press sandwiches, which were so good. Didn't Mary like give us those sandwich presses at some point, like as gifts, or am I on crack?
I don't remember that, but I did get one for housewarming.
Yeah, I got one at some point.
I have one.
I could never quite replicate.
You couldn't? I didn't try. But I thought, oh, it'd be so fun to try some of these things at home. Like, do the sandwiches, do the pickles, do the chocolate cake,
do
like
pickles,
different things.
I went to this ice cream burrito place in Vegas and they do a pickle version.
Wait, ice cream burrito?
It's so good. Okay, they take cotton candy, this big thing of cotton candy, and you pick an ice cream and they put scoops of ice cream in the middle. You pick toppings, they put toppings, and they wrap it up in this giant cotton candy burrito and you bite into it and it's so fucking good.
Whoa.
So I took the kids there because it's one of their favorite things to do. And then I noticed they had a pickle version and I'm like, well, I'm not doing sweets today. So I'm going to get that as a joke and take one bite and post it. No, it was fucking good. And it reminded me of Sheila's sweet pickles. Like that's kind of what it tasted like.
Oh, wow.
So you bite into this thing. It's like cotton candy with like ice cream and then a pickle next to it. I mean, it sounds like it would be disgusting, but it was so good.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we loved Captain Bob's sandwiches. Like we're raving about them in here, but we truly, truly, truly loved mm-hmm. those sandwiches. They were so good. And they're pretty simple.
It was just a ham and cheese, but he just had a way of making them where it was like melted perfectly.
Yeah.
Where I feel like if I did it, it just would not be the jam.
I'm going to try and make them.
So we're back at Manly Night, and then Hef pulls out an article about how Brett Ratner is supposed to direct the movie on his life, which never happened. But they kept talking about it over the years. Like, Brian Grazer was going to do it, and, like, Scott Silver was going to write it, and then Brett Ratner was on board to direct. And then at one point, they never cast a Hef, but at one point, Jared Leto was, like, publicly expressing interest.
I remember that.
And he was like, and he said, I want to understand him, meaning, like, understand Hef. And I don't know if any of these rumors are true, so don't come at me. But all the rumors about Jared Leto are that he's always creeping on girls who are way too young for him. And he's like supposedly starting a cult, allegedly. And I'm like, of course you want to understand, Hef.
Sorry.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah.
But the movie never happened.
And then there's a funny scene in here where Hef is telling them that they're going to film, they're going to talk about his stroke all the way up to the present, and that they'll go back to the earlier days of the magazine and his first marriage and the second marriage. And then Ray interrupts and goes, and the third marriage is going to be in there.
And then they go,
doo-doo-doo-doo.
And that shows me like getting ready really fast. Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
No, I think it's funny too. And how quippy of Ray. Like he was right there.
I know.
Did you ever hear about what?
Oh, I was just going to say in commentary, we say, so I guess we just got written out of Hef's new movie. and
but we had no idea how much we got written out.
And then you say, I don't think we want to be in it anyway. And I'm like, really? Why? And you're like, because the parts we were in were super cheesy. So you must have seen like the script or something and what parts they were going to show us in.
No, not that I remember. I remember when I was reading the script, it was mostly about like him meeting Barbie. And it was just very boring. Like, I just think they really struggled on what are we even doing? And any parts that we were in were more like interstitial type things, just like non, like stuff that doesn't even really matter, kind of. And so they kept trying to get this movie made. And it got to a point where I think like the Brian Grazer of it all might have like dropped it after a while. Because after we left, Kevin confided in me that one of his friends, who's a pretty big producer in Hollywood, decided to take on the project of trying to get Hef's movie made. And was like making all this progress on it and stuff. And then Dick Rosenzweig got Hef in touch with whoever ended up making the Amazon movie. And I put movie in quotes because this Amazon, I forget what it was called, like American Playboy or something. This Amazon movie about Hef wasn't really a movie. It was kind of like documentary featuring reenactments.
Oh.
And anyway, so Kevin had this friend who's a big movie producer trying to get it made. And then without telling that producer anything, Dick Rosenzweig hooked Hef up with the Amazon people. But that big producer was still out doing meetings and trying to make it happen. Okay. And then he found out this other stuff was happening behind his back and was so fucking pissed. Phone with me. And you know how Kevin was always like so pro Hef, and he was very brainwashed, meaning like, I don't know if he was like this to you, but I know with me and Kendra after we left, anytime he would talk to us and sense us like kind of waking up to it all, he'd kind of like beat us back down and how great Hef was. But in this conversation, Kevin was telling me this story. He goes, you know what? You're right, Holly. Hef's not a good guy. Because he was so put off that like Hef did that behind his friend's back and left his friend kind of out to rot, still pitching this thing that Hef wasn't going to do.
Whoa.
And that to get Kevin to say that, and granted, of course, Kevin was back on the train the next day thinking Hef was the best thing ever. But
yeah,
for Kevin to say that was like a lot.
Yeah.
So anyhow, instead of getting the big, cool movie made, they did this thing with Amazon. And when I say we had no idea how much we were written out, because I've never sat down and watched this whole Amazon thing, but people have told me, and I've watched the section that they're talking about, that when they get to the part where Girls Next Door happens, they mention Girls Next Door briefly, but they don't like acknowledge any of us or show us. They show a clip where it's like you see, it's from like episode one or two. You see like Sarah Underwood and Vanessa Holscher and like the back of Kendra's head. But the only reason like I know it's Kendra's head is because I know the show so well. So they basically like wrote us out of history very purposefully.
It is so weird.
Yeah, and not saying we have to be like a big part of Hef's story. Like his life is so long, you might not even be telling that part. But if you're going to bother telling that part and say that Girls Next Door is a part of his story, to like write us out very deliberately like seems so petty. And like, who the fuck are you trying to appease, Crystal?
It is bizarre to me because there's a lot of people that really did Hef dirty, and you can say for good or for bad or whatever, but like
they're still part of the story.
They're still part of the story. What?
But somehow like we're the villains, the big ones.
And we're the ones that they have to write out. Like I feel like we changed Playboy
at a certain point. Like, we are very important in the story. It's not the whole story.
Yeah.
It's a blip on the story, but I feel like it's an important blip.
Yeah. And if it wasn't important at all, why do they go to such great lengths to make sure only, not saying any of the women in these shot are generic people, but to me, they chose a shot with just like some blonde girls who are playmates. And, you know, they, if you're going that far out of your way to erase us, then we must mean more than you are admitting. Cause otherwise they just wouldn't even try. It would just be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
And in confessional, I say Hollywood is doing a movie on Hef's life and he's very involved in the process. And that just sounds so funny. Hollywood is doing.
Hollywood is calling.
Yeah. I know. It sounds so.
Or Hollywood. I was like knocking. Hollywood's knocking.
I know.
Hollywood's calling something. I don't know.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Sometimes it can feel so defeating to be dealing with a mental health issue or being confused about your feelings. And then you go online to try and search for help. And there's just so much misinformation out there, or even just stuff that's so not tailored to you and you don't know where to start. The internet is information overload central, especially about mental health and wellness. And it can be a struggle to know what's true and what actions you should even take. Using trusted resources and talking to live therapists can get you personalized recommendations and help you break through all that noise and confusion. I've told you guys so many times that I've benefited from therapy in all phases of my adult life. With every change in my life, I need that someone to talk to, and it's so helpful. I've needed help with so many things, whether it was postpartum, establishing my own boundaries, recognizing and reestablishing healthy relationship patterns. It's just been so invaluable to me.
With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. And it's convenient too. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/nextlevel. That's betterhelp.com/nextlevel.
Do you remember Oliver Stone being like in all this mix too?
He was in talks to be the director very briefly at one point when they were talking about the movie being a musical, and he came up to have like a meeting with us, but he was very in and out very quickly.
Yeah, I feel like he came to a party, too.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're back at Mary's house and we're all leaving, saying our goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
And in an interview, I say, it's nice to be able to go to Mary and Captain Bob's house and hang out. It feels like you get away from the pressure of the city. And it's kind of like you're going home for a little bit.
I know what you're saying, but that sounds so funny.
It does. But you know what? I do kind of feel that way about the Valley because it's just easy to park. Like, you can park like normal, like park on the street or park like in a normal grocery store parking lot or whatever. You don't have to park in a parking garage and take an escalator or like pay a meter or like go valet or whatever like you have to do in LA.
Yeah, it is slightly more suburban.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's, I don't even think I'm even referring to that. I think I'm just trying to like talk about how it's sort of an escape to go there.
Yeah, her house, everything about it feels very Midwest.
Or it even feels like back home in Lodi. Like mm-hmm. It just feels
small town.
Mm-hmm.
And the final scene, they cut back to the mansion. And the first thing they show is the side of the wishing well that's out front. And there were all these like figures carved into the side of the wishing well. But they focus in on one of the faces. And the face just looks like a horror face. Like it's a person like, oh, get me out of here.
Oh,
it's so
no. I
crazy.
Didn't notice.
It's like this soul that got trapped in alabaster and is screaming to get out.
Oh, no.
So then this last scene is, it's Mary's birthday and somebody says we ordered her a cake as a surprise, or I say that here in my notes. But who's we? Like, who planned this? Was it the show? Was it Hef? Was it the staff? Was it you? Do you remember how this came about?
I sort of thought I had a hand in like doing something for this, but I don't fully remember.
Yeah, because I don't remember like the birthday of every single staff member automatically being a thing at the mansion.
I just said, I know I say in interview, today is Mary's birthday. So as a surprise, we are getting her a cake and it is going to be wheeled out into the circle in front of the mansion. And everybody on the property is going to come out and sing her happy birthday. Because she was super anti her birthday and
didn't want to be the center of attention.
Not at all.
I'm the opposite. I like a birthday.
I don't mind it. I mean, I do get embarrassed when like the singing and stuff happens, but like, I don't hate my birthday or anything. I do think it's fun.
Yeah. Brian Alea is setting up a table under the arch driveway and everyone at the house is walking out. And I mean, everyone, including Kendra, Steve Watts, who was a writer there, who was writing a biography on Hef. And he would stay at the mansion to like work on it, go through Hef's scrapbooks, interview him. He even stayed across the street at the Bunny House. And I think.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Yes. Him and his wife got pregnant and conceived the baby in Hef's round bed.
Yes. Yeah.
I always wonder with people like Steve Watts working on that book or with Brian Grazer wanting to do the movie, like obviously Hef's a really interesting person and would make, you know, a fascinating topic. But I always wonder how much of the excitement about the project is like them getting access to like that world and like the invites and the,
yeah, you
know, not that Brian Grazer needs like special access, but you know what I mean? So we're setting up the surprise for Mary. She hated being the center of attention. So to do something like this was always a little bit dicey. You don't know if she's going to like it or how it's going to go down. So in order to get her to come down there, Steve from security makes up a story that Allison Waite hit Mary's car.
Poor Allison.
Do you remember there was a mean girl during the Mean Girls era who would always say that the valets dented her car?
Yes.
Everybody was over it. Mary was over it. Hef was over it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I was just talking to Stacy about this, and we feel like that's part of the reason that she got kicked out. But Stacy said it's because she used the N-word with one of the security people.
No, I think that is what it was. But it was, it's hard to pinpoint what got that girl kicked out because, first of all, it's one of those weird things. And there were a couple mean girls like this where it's like, I don't even know how they were part of the group except that they pushed themselves in. Because granted, like, Hef is allowing them to keep coming out and he's sleeping with them and all the stuff. So he has to be held responsible. But I also don't feel like he was ever asking those girls to move in and they had to ask multiple times and then ask multiple times to be put on an allowance. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't get along with anybody there. And then the staff, a lot of the staff didn't like them. So it was like, and they were a couple of the meanest, worst ones. And it was just like, I couldn't wrap my head on like, around how were they still there?
I know.
And so this girl, by the time she got kicked out, it felt so long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
So long overdue. But I think
all of them.
I know. But especially this one. And then I think her always accusing the valet of denting her car was something that was toward the end that people were just getting so fucking sick of. Mm-hmm. Mary was sick of it. Hef was sick of it.
Yeah.
And then as Brian's getting ready to like, you know, devise to get Mary down there, he goes, do you think if she sees everyone, it will deter her? And you very matter-of-factly say, she can't see.
Right.
But before anybody thinks that's mean, like Mary had macular degeneration and she joked about it all the time. So it's just very blunt.
If you stood in the doorway of her office, she would like squint and be like, who is that? I can't see you. Mm-hmm. So like it was that bad. Like she really couldn't see. And for a long time, somebody had to drive her to home and back to work and stuff because she can't see. So it was not just being mean. It was just very matter-of-fact.
And then Brian goes up to tell Mary this. And I can't read the look on Mary's face because the camera is shooting straight on toward her. And she's just looking up like, I don't know if she can tell it's bullshit. I don't know if she just doesn't want to get involved because she's looking like she's getting wrangled into an extra scene or if she's just like, what the fuck?
I feel like she's looking at Brian like bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. But I don't know. But I don't think that, I don't feel like Brian was very convincing. Like, I feel like the way he tells the story, like, I feel like I could have done a way better job. Be like, oh my God, Mary, we need you down here really quick. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I could have done it better. But the way he says it, I feel like he's stumbling and I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel like she's onto it because the cameras are there too. And she's like, okay, what is this scene?
Yes.
What do you need from me?
Yes.
And you can see how shy she gets when she comes outside and she sees Hef and she points at him all accusatory. Like, And then we have a confessional interview with Mary, which I think this is the first time we've ever seen that.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And then she says, you know, it's good. She says something to the effect of, you know, it's good to see everybody around. And you can tell that I haven't really hurt anybody or I'm not the Wicked Witch of the West or anything. And I remember when I reviewed this on my YouTube, people were like, oh, that's a clue that she's this awful person, like it says in Secrets of Playboy or whatever. People came away from Secrets of Playboy thinking she's this awful person. But I don't really think that's what she meant. I think she meant like she was very much the gatekeeper to Hef, and she was very stern and no nonsense. So granted, a lot of people who wanted access or wanted things they couldn't get hated the messenger, you know, mm-hmm. and would blame it on her. So I think that's more what she's referring to.
I absolutely have that in my notes that that's what I think too. Mm-hmm. I think that she, and especially being a woman and having to tell yeah. people no, or having to be like the heavy hand or whatever, yeah. it doesn't set well. Everyone automatically just calls you a bitch and like
yeah.
thinks you're mean or like mm-hmm. awful or whatever. So I think that she just knew that she was the one who like had to tell everybody no,
yeah.
or that's not happening or can't come or whatever. And she would, knows that that doesn't put her on, like, doesn't make her the pleasant person.
Yeah. I asked on our Patreon again, I'm like, anybody who watched Secrets of Playboy, like, what did they say on that show about Mary that made everybody come away hating her so much? Because I feel like so many people after Secrets of Playboy were just like, oh, Mary O'Connor's the devil. And I don't think it's, based on the feedback I got, I don't think it's that one thing was really said. I think it's more people come away with just an impression that she was an enabler and enabling Hef's lifestyle and even like recruiting girls in the 70s, which I don't, can't imagine went as far as like the recruiters of our era. I think more she was like making phone calls or like seeing who was staying in whatever room. I don't really know. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And also people are really taken aback by the fact that Hef had taken Quaalude prescriptions out under a bunch of different people's names so he could get extra and have the stockpile. And people seem to really blame Mary for that. Like, oh, well, she let Hef use her name. And I'm sure she was probably aware of that. There was another, the whole reason we have that story is there was another secretary at that time who told that story and was like, Hef would get Quaaludes under my name, Mary's name, Sandra's name. But just knowing how Hef was and knowing how things worked up there, I don't necessarily think people were like super excited and on board and like volunteering themselves right. and like, use my name.
Yeah.
It's like he was finding the people like closest to him who were like dependent on him for their job. You know, because one of them, the secretary who was talking in Secrets of Playboy was 19 at the time. And then, you know, Sandra, his 19-year-old girlfriend, who was like head over heels for him. And then Mary, who works for him. Like, he's using all these people's names who are dependent on him and aren't going to really want to stand up and have a say. He's not using like his friend's names or his doctor's name or his family's name. It's like people who are, you know, right. easily taken advantage of. So I don't know that. I mean, who knows? Maybe Mary's sitting there like, yeah, use my name. Yeah, go fucking get him. I don't know, but that's just not really the way I view it.
Right.
Like, let's not take the responsibility away from the person who's doing this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Also, people said in the comments that in Secrets of Playboy, the photos they chose of Mary were very, like, menacing looking. So it just didn't create a good impression. And, you know, that's done purposefully.
Deliberately.
Like, you'd be surprised how easy, like, because a picture can tell 1,000 words and they're not always the accurate words.
And so in interview, you say that Mary looked really embarrassed and maybe a little teary-eyed, but that means we did our job. And then I say, there's nobody that knows Hef better than Mary. Mary is like his personal assistant, his secretary, his friend. The list goes on and on. She doesn't have a closet big enough for all the hats that she wears. And
I like that expression.
Is so true.
Yeah, totally.
She was like everything to him.
Yeah.
Except for maybe romantic.
Yeah. Do you have all our wrap-up statements about Mary? I forgot what I said and what Kendra said.
Yeah, you say, Mary is very special to me. She is a little bit like my second mom. She helps me out with a lot of things. She is one of the most honest people I know, and that is definitely appreciated.
Truth.
And then Kendra says she cares so much about everybody around here and she just wants to see everybody happy and she works her ass off. Whatever Mary says, whatever she asks me, I just do it. Don't fuck with Mary. And then I say one more thing. Again, I say Mary is totally the glue to everything that goes on at the mansion. She is the gatekeeper for Hef. She holds everything together, but she is still a part of the family and a friend to everyone. And I think that is true. That sums it up.
100%.
Another thing we talk about in commentary, which is totally separate. By the way, you're texting at the end in commentary.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, sorry, this Playmate centerfold just came through. And like, I have to like do my notes right now. But you can hear all the clicking, clicking, clicking.
Oh, that's
and like,
funny.
Scott's like, I can hear the clicking. And you're like, sorry, I got to get this done.
Blackberry.
But so we're talking about this and we're like, we want to do an episode about doing our own theme song and doing like a video for it. And then you go, can somebody please give us a pen and paper so we can write these ideas down? Or are you just back there stealing them all to give them to the twins and the new girls?
Wow. That's crazy. Cause I don't think season six had started airing yet by the time we are recording this, but they would steal all our ideas.
They did. And then you go, yeah, that's right. I fit that in there before the end of the episode. And then it goes, boom.
Caught. Mm-hmm. So do you have a best and worst?
I mean, the worst is the Kendra part at the beginning.
Me saying retarded. I'll one-up you on that. Oh. I'd take that out if I could.
My best is seeing Mary's house again and feeling like I'm back there.
Yeah, I think the best is like the heartfelt nature of the episode. Everything from like the joy we got out of going to the golf scramble to the documentation of our relationship with Mary and what she brought to people's lives. I just think it's like a really nice little time capsule.
I will go back in and say my worst is probably not really getting to know Mary, though.
Yeah.
Like we know, I feel like we don't really know much more about her than we knew to begin with. We know she's Hef's right hand. We know she's her significant other is Captain Bob, but we don't really learn much, anything else.
Yeah, I think it would have been fascinating to do even a really short deep dive, not even a deep dive, but just a short recap of like, she's from here. This is what she did. Then this is how she met Hef and started working for him. This is how long she's been working for him. And then she's back working for him. Even if something really quick like that with some pictures would have been so interesting, I think, to so many people. And I'm shocked they didn't do it like that too, because Kevin came from doing A&E biographies. Like he did like, I forget how many he did, like 500 biographies. Like he would always say to me that he could tell how somebody's life was going to turn out because he produced so many biographies. He just had an understanding of human nature because he'd done so many biographies. But anyway, my point of saying that was that's a little bit like to have like a 1 minute that was almost like biography on Mary that flows into the episode. Like I'm almost surprised it wasn't done that way just because that was so Kevin.
I feel like it's a very lost opportunity again and something that could have given so much more depth to the whole show.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're looking back on it the way we are now and seeing kind of the whole story. It's an interesting episode because it's not one of the more visual or exciting episodes that you think of too much when you think about the show, but it is kind of a world building episode and gives you a little bit more insight into one of the characters and stuff.
Yeah.
And it is also kind of a mishmash. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting. What's the next episode? Monte Carlo?
Yes.
Yeah. So we will see you guys back again. If you would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right. Sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.